Early on the morning of March 5, 1941, a German secret agent, codenamed Radium, parachuted into a pasture in Essex. Instead of the German contact he expected, two British police officers met him. They invited him into their car and drove him to an abandoned nursing home in Richmond. Here he was deprived of his clothes and left to shiver for the better part of a night in a basement room. All this was preparatory to the procedure by which the British Secret Service turned enemy agents. Radium was Portuguese, 27. By profession, he had been a bellman at a Lisbon hotel. His father was also a bellman. The Germans, he told his interrogators, had recruited him because he spoke good English and because his uncle, Fernando, was a member of Salazar's secret police. They assumed that I was a fascist, like Fernando, Radium said. But I'm not a fascist. All I wanted was to get out of Portugal. I didn't want to spend my life like my father, wearing livery and a little cap. Twenty-four hours later, Radium was handed over to his British control, whose codename was Alchemist. The first order of business was a debriefing. Radium was to provide a detailed account of the training he'd undergone in Lisbon. "Twice a week for 2 months," Radium said. "I reported to my German control in his room on Rua Janelas Verdes. His codename is Trapezoid. In the mornings, he taught me the art of espionage, encipherment, secret ink, Morse code, microphotography. Do you have the secret ink on you?" "In the toothpaste tube. That was how he gave it to me. And then in the afternoons, we would sit together at the Café Brasileira and talk about books." "What books?" In Germany, Trapezoid told me, he'd studied Spanish and Portuguese literature. His favorite writer was Eça de Queiroz, whose novel, The Maias, every Portuguese student reads in high school, but I hadn't gone to high school, so I'd never read it. "You're lucky," Trapezoid told me. "It means you have it to look forward to." I think it was the next day that he gave me my own copy of The Maias. Though I was moved. No one had ever given me a book before. I must admit I found it very dull. So many descriptions of curtains. I kept falling asleep. Every morning, Trapezoid would ask me what chapter I was on. "Let me know when you get to the chapter about the cheese pastries," he'd say. But I never did make it to the chapter about the cheese pastries. "Never mind," he'd say. "You can read it when you get to England." I promised him that the next time we met, I would have read, if not the whole book, then at least the chapter about the cheese pastries. Radium had brought one other book to England, a guidebook called All About Portugal. This book, of which Trapezoid also had a copy, provided the basis for the code with which he and Radium were to disguise their communications. Say Radium wanted to send a message to Trapezoid on November 11th. First, he would double encipher the message, using as his key text a passage chosen at random from All About Portugal. Next, he would double encipher the location of the key text within the guidebook, using a second key text derived from the date on which the letter was written. According to the rules of the code, odd-numbered months were associated with pages 100 to 130 of All About Portugal, even-numbered months with pages 200 to 230. November 11th took him to page 111, the last full line of which read, "The theater, itself being a fine one, with a ceiling painted by..." The system would have been foolproof had the British not long since broken the German code, and had Radium not handed over to Alchemist within 12 hours of his arrest his copy of All About Portugal. For the duration of the war, Radium proved an exemplary double agent. In collaboration with Alchemist, he read and analyzed the German questionnaires that Trapezoid forwarded. Then he concocted answers in which insignificant facts were mixed with significant inventions to create a heady and deceptive cocktail. Of this, the Germans, it seemed, could not get their fill. Their credulity troubled Alchemist. "Is it possible they're onto you?" he asked. "I doubt it," Radium replied, then read aloud from Trapezoid's latest message. "You are a hero. Your courage knows no bounds. Your ingenuity knows no bounds." As if that wasn't enough, Trapezoid had put him up for the Iron Cross, Germany's highest military honor. "The Iron Cross for a double agent," Alchemist said. "You should feel proud." But Radium didn't feel proud. He felt, what to call it, what a husband feels when he cheats on his wife and gets away with it. In May 1945, about a week after Hitler's suicide, Radium received his last communication from Trapezoid. Alchemist was out of town that day, his mother-in-law had died, so Radium deciphered the message on his own. Much to his surprise, the result was gibberish. Had Trapezoid given the wrong date? Normally he was punctilious in such matters, but when Radium tried the date before and the date after, the result was still gibberish. It was as if Trapezoid was employing the right code, but the wrong book. From the shelf over his desk, Radium took down his copy of The Mayas. Despite his promise to Trapezoid, since arriving in England, he had not even opened it. Now the date of Trapezoid's message led him to page 206, the last full line of which read, "Up," that had been left there by mistake, and which adrift in the. This, in turn, led him to the top of page 190. As Krugis came bounding down the last few steps, a shrill female voice called from up above, "Don't forget the cheese pastries." Impatiently, Radium began deciphering. Words emerged. Radium forced himself not to read them until he was finished in case the reading should interfere with the decipherment. The message, in its entirety, read, "The brake stopped, they all stared at him, and in the vast silence of the plain, which lay bathed in peaceful moonlight, a distraught Krugis exclaimed, 'I forgot to buy the cheese pastries.'" What was this? Distraught as poor Krugis, Radium skimmed the chapter of the Mayas in which the key text appeared. Trapezoid's message repeated, word for word, its last sentence. He had used one passage from the Mayas to encipher another. That afternoon, Radium finally read the chapter about the cheese pastries. In this chapter, Carlos de Maya goes to Sintra with his friend Krugis. Before they leave, Krugis' mother asks him to bring home some of the cheese pastries for which Sintra is famous. Carlos claims that he's going to Sintra to breathe the good air. In fact, he is in pursuit of a mysterious and beautiful woman. He and Krugis have all sorts of adventures in Sintra. They meet some Spanish prostitutes, they play cards, they eat bacalao, prepared by a famous poet. And through it all, Krugis, poor Krugis, keeps reminding himself about the cheese pastries. He must not forget the cheese pastries. But of course, he does. Alchemist returned that evening to find Radium sitting in the dark. "What's the matter?" he asked. Radium handed him the decrypt of Trapezoid's message. "Cheese pastries," Alchemist said. "What on earth is he talking about? Is it code?" "Don't upset yourself," Radium said. "It's nothing like that. It's merely saying that he's disappointed in me." "Whatever for?" "For being bored by a novel." It was as close as Radium could get to answering the question. "Well, I wouldn't be doing my duty if I didn't report this," Alchemist said, and he picked up the telephone. Thank you. The investigation into Operation Cheese Pastries, possibly an 11th-hour sabotage plan, lasted 3 months. It yielded nothing, but the news that on May 8th, a certain Heinz Toffler, German agent, codenamed Trapezoid, had shot himself in his room in Lisbon. He was 31 years old.